Happy Sabbath. As is the normal custom, when Dad speaks, I have to sing. So it's a blessing to be here, and I'm glad that he's here too.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to you. I'm sure I have enough juice up here, I guess. It's wonderful to be here and to be speaking to the congregation. You know, when Pastor Dixon had asked me to come and speak, I know my time here is short because the Lord said the same. Tomorrow I depart again for Iraq. And, you know, that has been some angst in my household throughout the week because I know my wife, God bless her, she's been my support and my anchor through these times I've been deployed. This being my third time being deployed with forces in a battlefield, and it doesn't get any easier every time. And this time is no different than the rest. And she's hoping that this will be the last time that I find myself in harm's way. But it seems that harm's way is anywhere where there's mankind. We heard the pastor say this morning that several young people lost their lives on the road. Now, that's to remind us that God is not necessarily only needed on the battlefield, amen? He's needed everywhere, amen? And you can pray for us because we request that much in Iraq and Afghanistan or where we find ourselves in the Horn of Africa. But pray for those that are here too, because dangers are all around, amen? Amen? And as I prepare to go out tomorrow, I do solicit your prayers for Traveling Mercies and that you continue to pray for my son, who also is in Iraq even at this hour. And if the Lord said the same, he will be here to visit his family sometime next month. So we are here this morning, and I'm here this morning, because God has appointed us to be in this place. And the pastor had asked that I speak on something referencing Black History Month. And many of you may not be aware that we do have time carved out to remember Black history. And it's an important thing to do because when you lose your history, you have no idea of where you're going or what's to be expected in the future, amen? So because of that, we have a time set aside for history. But we're going to do it in a biblical way, amen? We're not going to get caught up in a whole bunch of finger-pointing and craziness, but we're going to go through the Word, and we're going to see some things, and we're going to put some things together to realize that even though we were kept down, even though we were in bondage, in slavery, God still had a plan, amen, for his people. Are we there? But let's pray first. Father God in heaven, this morning we come before you just to say thank you first of all, O God, for your merciful kindness and grace. We thank you, O God, for providing for us and giving us health and strength, the abilities to use our limbs this morning, have clarity of mind, the ability to speak, O God. We thank you, O God, for bringing us to this place of beauty and of rest and peace. We thank you, O God, for your Son, most of all, who while we were yet sinners came and died for us, that we may have a chance at salvation. Father God, bless the congregation this morning. Bless those who've come to hear some word this morning that these words may be a blessing to them, O God. And if not these words, let some word during fellowship or during potluck be a blessing to them and give them the food they need to fill their souls. Father, humble me this morning before your people. Strip me of all foolishness and craziness. Make me, O God, usable for your word. We thank you, O God, and we just love you. In your Son's name, amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, as Brother Freitas read this morning, from the book of Genesis. Excuse me, I have to drink some water. And the reason why I went to Genesis, first of all, to set the stage that God had a plan, amen, for mankind. We are not just some kind of cataclysmic happening, some kind of Big Bang event. We were planned out by the Creator God, amen? And when God said in verse 26 of Genesis 1, he said, then God said, excuse me, let us make man in whose image? In our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Amen? So we set the basis that God had a plan for mankind. Well, over the course of time, as we know the creation story, that old disease called sin made its way into the garden, amen? And as a result of that sin, man fell out of God's grace. Man was put out of the garden, and then that whole scenario that God had created initially had to change a bit, amen? Because now we have this infection called sin. Before we get too far along in the message, I want you to take this with you, if nothing else. Slavery is a manifestation of sin, amen? Are we there? Slavery is a manifestation of sin. If there was no sin in the garden, there would have been no slavery tale, amen? So with that, I want to get into the meat of the message. And in the year 2007, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History has developed a theme, and that theme for this year is From Slavery to Freedom. Amen, you heard that? The theme this year is From Slavery to Freedom. Now, the history of the American African slave is varied and vast. And I went through looking for some things on the internet. I told the pastor I would do a PowerPoint presentation, but there's not enough hours in this day for me to share the things that I'd want to share. So what I had to do was go through and pull out some key dates and things just to give you some background. And then hopefully on your own, you will go search this out. But the first African slave was brought to America in 1619. Did you know that? I hear you, Brother Tony. I hear you. And Brother Tony and I got some history. We go way back to when we were children. So he's going to amen up the place, as he should, because that's what friends do. 1619 is the time that they first brought the slave to America, and to date, from that point to now, that's 388 years. Can you imagine that? And throughout that history, there has been so much going on. Give you a few key dates, like in 1787, it says here that slavery was made illegal in the Northwest Territory. The U.S. Constitution states that Congress may not ban slave trade until 1808. Look at that. And slavery became a cash crop. You remember that? Selling of flesh and selling of people became a cash industry. And in 1793, as a result of the invention of the cotton gin, the demand for slavery became even more aggressive. And we knew that Eli Whitney had invented that, even though there's some discussion that maybe he did not, but we won't venture there today. In 1793, also, the federal fugitive slave law was enacted, which stated that all runaway slaves must be returned to their slave masters. And it goes on and on. The list goes on and on, all the way down to 1865, when we knew the Civil War ended. Remember that? And of course, at the same time, President Lincoln, who was a champion for the abolition of slavery, was assassinated. Also in that year, the 13th Amendment was abolished. Slavery throughout the United States. And on June 19th, slavery in the United States effectively ended when 250,000 slaves in Texas finally received the news that the Civil War had ended 2 months earlier. So even though the war was over and slavery was abolished somewhat, there was still slavery going on. Amen? And in between that time, between 1685 and 1955, a lot of bad things was going on. Lynchings, beatings, cruelty of all kinds. But in 1955, we saw the civil rights movement kick off. And another major event happened in 1955. That was the year that I was born. I just wanted to throw that out there. So I am actually a child of the civil rights movement. And Brother Tony, amen? and Brother Dixon, amen, and Brother, okay, I know, Brother 56, we got you, but you're in that window of opportunity. If you were born after 68, okay, I can't say the same, but from 55 to 68 was the civil rights movement. And many of you who've heard this over the years and remember Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954, you remember that? The Rosa Parks incident that kicked off the whole bus boycott movement in Montgomery, Alabama. The desegregating of Little Rock, Arkansas in 1958, the Freedom Rides, the Albany Movement, the Birmingham Campaign, 63 to 64, Mississippi Freedom Summer, 64. Many of you may not remember this, but some of you do because you were here. But all these dates go on to say is that there was a plan, amen, in place that was acting itself out because God was the leader of that plan. Amen? Amen? It's amazing to me how often we are cheapened as a people by the proclamation of being the first to do something. Don't be amazed that I can do anything, because I read to you in Genesis 1, it says that we were made in the image of God. Amen? Amen. Then my possibilities are endless. The only thing that limits my possibilities are access. Amen? If you limit my access, which slavery did, you limit my potential and capabilities. So the next time somebody says, oh, they're the first black coach or the first even president, don't be amazed, because we're the first. I don't even put any credit to that. We are citizens of the same land. Amen? Over in this war that's going on in Iraq, we're bleeding and dying of all colors. I don't remember that happening during the war. They said the first black soldier killed. I don't remember hearing that. We are one nation. So don't cheapen us by categorizing us when something great happens. We are able to do great things because we are made in the image of God. Don't get it twisted this morning. I am just amazed how even within the church, slavery and segregation was allowed to abound. As we look back on the history, those years that were not spoken of from the time that slavery ended until the movement started, there were people who were good, quote, Christians that maintained slaves in their household. Are we stunned this morning? But what is this word slavery? What is slavery? It's the condition of bondage. We are saying that Christian people held other people in bondage. It's keeping someone in an institutionalized state, the state of subjection. To be in a situation of severe toil and drudgery. This is what slavery is, and we saw it within the church only because people forgot to go back to Genesis. Even though many of the Christian slave owners of the day would find scriptures in the Bible to support slavery, they only did so to continue to perpetuate their own agenda. It wasn't God's plan for us to enslave each other. There's nothing in Genesis that says, and I give you dominion over the brown skin or yellow skin or red skin. It doesn't say that. It says, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over livestock. So in order to make slavery make sense, we had to be, right, reduced to what? To livestock. If you ever go back and do black history studies, you will see that they actually sold slaves on the auction block. They would have a sale of cattle, and then afterward they'll say, next on the docket is some fresh slaves in from South Carolina or Mississippi or wherever, and they would sell them as livestock in order to justify what you're doing in violation of Genesis. You had to reduce us to livestock. Why could this happen? How could the church allow this to happen. Sometimes we as Christian folk, we have a tendency to believe blindly. Amen? How many of you actually read your word? How many of you actually get in the word and read the word of God and let it become life to you? If you don't make the word of God life, anything will have to do. Anything that's said from the pulpit will have to make sense. Amen? Because I'm doing all the reading for you, and I have to know what I'm saying because I'm preaching this morning. The church allowed slavery to continue, so much so that we became even segregated in our worship. I am often challenged when I hear, well, you know, he's a pastor in the black church. Well, I'm hoping and praying fervently that when I get to heaven, we are not sectioned off by color. I mean, these are often very hard words to hear, but they're true words. I tell the soldiers over there in Iraq where the belief in God is necessary. I don't care what you call yourself over there. You need to be a child of God in the battlefield, amen? I don't care what you call yourself back at the home church. You need to be a Christian over there if you hope to make it into the kingdom in the event your life comes to an end. I worship with Church of God in Christ, with Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, whomever find their way to the general Protestant service, and I also do an Adventist service on Saturday, but I will tell you this, people are praying to the living God in Iraq even today. You need to know that God is the keeper of all people. He did not limit us. He is no respecter of persons. Read your Bible for crying out loud. And this is not a battering session, folks. This is just preaching, amen? Old-time religion, generic. Like I tell folks over there, if you're taking it personally, then you personally have to check yourself against the word, amen? But if it's not, it is just general information. Because slavery and the slavery mentality found its way into God's house. How did we let that happen? It took a long time for us, blacks, whites, and others, to understand that God had a different plan. So the only way God can reach his people is through his person. Amen? So he sent us during the movement, Dr. Martin Luther King. And many of you have heard of him, right? How else can someone get the word of God out unless they are the man of God? Amen? Does that make sense? During the movement of the 60s, there were a lot of things going on. The Black Panthers, how many of y'all remember that? I grew up in that era. I grew up in New York City, in Harlem, and the Panthers were very, very present. And theirs was one of violence and takeover. And even though they had many that followed them, the majority did not want violence and death and destruction. We also had Elijah Muhammad's movement, the Black Muslim. How many of y'all remember that? Minister Louis Farrakhan was very big then, and of course, Malcolm X, who initially started out as a black nationalist, and even as he was exposed to Islam in a truer sense, he changed his venue. Amen? He realized that God's people, as he called them, Allah God, was the God of all people, and Muslims were not just black. And when he came back preaching that, even within our own camp, amen? But we can't put this thing on other folks now. Even within his own camp, within the black Muslims, they assassinated him because he was promoting a message that was counter to the message of hatred. So the only way for us to get God's word out was for God to look down from heaven and pick a man. And that man he picked was Dr. Martin Luther King. Born January 15th, 1929. And he was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. He, in fact, was the proclaimed leader of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. He became the youngest man to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, promoting nonviolence, equal treatment for different races. And again, in 1968, in April the 4th, he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. But while he was here, he preached of nonviolence, civil disobedience. Amen? Yeah. what was happening to the African American was in fact wrong in the sight of God, but our response to that should not have been violent. Amen? And as a result of that, he had this movement that became huge. Not because he was a great orator, not because he was an intellectual, but because God was in charge of the movement. Amen? When God is in charge of something, there's always victory at the end. Amen? He realized that what had been done to the slave was wrong. God had put it on his heart to say that God's plan was not to do this. His I Had a Dream speech became very popular because of what it said. It included everyone. My situation as an African American affects you as a non-African American. If I'm allowed to be disenfranchised, your freedoms are also at risk. Amen? If you allow one citizen of this land to be taken advantage of, you too one day may become the next to be taken advantage of. But it takes someone who is speaking of God and godly things to be able to speak this kind of message. From slavery to freedom, that journey is a journey made not without Christ. Amen? And as we look back into slavery days, even in the slave quarters, at first, the blacks were not allowed to worship because it was thought that we had no souls. But as the word was getting out about religion, then the slave master allowed the black to hear more about the word, but only sharing those things that promoted slavery. Amen? Until one day, they heard the message that spoke of Moses. Amen? And the way God sent him to take those out of bondage who had been in bondage in Egypt for many years. This powerful and awesome God. Once they heard that, they could no longer be still. Amen? And as a result, inside the slave quarters, dissension grew against bondage and slavery. And we had folks who rose up. And I go back to my little history chart here. Let's jump back a ways. It talks about Nate Turner, an enslaved African-American preacher, led the most significant slave uprising in American history. He and his band of fellows launched a short, bloody rebellion in Southampton County. The militia quelled the rebellion, and Nate Turner eventually was hung. But again, he rose up, amen, because they realized there was no place for that kind of thing. We have to realize that God was aware of what was going on during slavery. He was not absent. And all the while we were in bondage, he was preparing us for that move into freedom. You know, trials and tribulations come, amen? Turn your Bibles with me to James, my favorite book now. It's become my very favorite book. Because as we realize that slavery is nothing more than sin, then the book of James and what we hear in James chapter 1, starting at verse 2, I have my mark, okay, makes sense to us. It says, consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance must finish his work so that you may mature and be complete, not lacking anything. God knew that if we had time to go through this thing called slavery, we would in fact develop patience and perseverance. Amen? Amen. And now the result of it, here we are today. Many of the African Americans in this room are not indigenous of this place called Hawaii. But yet here we are. Amen? There was a time when we could not be here. Does that make sense? During slavery and when it was not talked against, we were not allowed to be part of the greater community. But here we are because God had a plan. Here I am speaking to you of matters of slavery. God knew that we needed someone to come and share with us. Someone to come and remind us of his plan. And he sent us Dr. King, not a perfect man, amen? like none of us are perfect, but a man who God said, I will fix that heart to speak my will. Amen? And as a result of his movement and as a result of the faith, you find that we now have certain laws in place that protect us against certain behavior. Amen? And the reason why I said it that way, because again, we are not where we are because it is man's nature to be loving. It took Dr. King's movement, being blessed by God, to have lawmakers change laws. Amen? Because his movement alone would not have done it. Amen? Because we are a disobedient people. That's why we have church. That's why we pray. Amen? So as a result of it, laws have been put in place, and we were penciled into the Constitution again. And now we have protection against our inalienable rights being breached or taken advantage of. So we are grateful for the movement. But now the challenge is for us to remain faithful. Amen? Amen. And this means for us African Americans in the room to lay down the cross of burden and despair. Don't drag those old bones around anymore. You don't have to kill yourself remembering. I'm just sharing history with you. History. Your children can be whatever they want to be now. Amen? There's no more whips on our backs. There's no more lashes. There's no more go to the slave quarters. There's no more disrespecting of our women by the slave master. We've taken on that job ourselves. I don't hear amen on that one. We are not living under this shroud or this cloud of slavery any longer. We are now living under a place where we can make decisions, even though there are those out there who may not be kind to you because of your color. Remember that there are laws in place, amen, to fix that issue. So as you read your Bible, also read the laws that pertain to you as an African American, because there's nothing wrong with challenging wrong. Amen? Amen. It's how you do it. Amen. And the spirit in which you do it. Amen. If you're treating me bad because I'm black and I take you to court because of it, it's not because I'm a non-Christian. It's because you're treating me bad because I'm black. Amen? Amen. And there are laws in place that protect me, amen, against that. Don't let people get you all twisted up and tell you you don't have a right to complain. You just got to do it in the right spirit. The Bible says that you can anger, but what? Sin not. Don't get all tied up in sin talking about how you hate folks. No, that's not going to fix it. Take it to the Lord in prayer and then see what your rights are under man's law. Amen? Is that bad counsel, Pastor? I'm just asking. Because you know I'm leaving tomorrow, so if I tear some stuff up today, I don't got to face it next week. It took God inspiring a man to come out so that we can gain this thing called freedom. And what is freedom? The state of being free or at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. Look at that. Exempt from external control, interference, or regulation. The power to determine action without restraint. Amen? Exemption from the presence of anything specified. The absence of or release from ties or obligation. We were in bondage for a long time because of sin. And God allowed that thing to go its course. Why? You got to ask him when you get to heaven. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Had I gave this sermon maybe 20 years ago, my tone might have been a little different. Because I'll be honest with you, I was truly a black nationalist. Coming out of Harlem, come on now, what else would I be? Growing up in a time of leaders who were often very aggressive in their pursuit for freedom and equality. But then I heard of this Dr. King guy. Heard him speak, and I said, but he's getting beaten. What is that all about? Amen? Amen. Didn't that resemble something like what our Lord went through? Yeah. If we call ourselves Christians and we can't take a beating for what's right, then we need to redefine Christian. Amen? Amen. I don't know. I said, I don't know if I could take a beating, though. But as we watched this thing on television, because it was real to me, I started thinking more, and God put people in my way who said, slavery is bad, but God had a plan. Amen? Amen. And God's plan will work its way out. Because, you know, even though slavery was bad and millions of slaves were killed, we as a people are still here. Amen? Amen? Come on now. No matter how much we talk about it, 400 years of slavery, got it, and I'm not making it anything less than what it was. God's plan said, even though you are slain, your seed will not perish. And here we are, hopefully, a testimony to what God can do to a people that is treated badly by other people. Amen? So, African Americans in the room, in particular, rejoice in your darkness. Skin darkness, that is. Not the darkness of ignorance. Rejoice in your color, because we are a testimony that God is able. Amen? We are a testimony that God never forgets his people. We can walk around with the sad story all day long, but God hasn't forgotten us. If I'm here in 2007 complaining about slavery as though it's still happening, that means I'm still here. Why am I complaining about the past? Use the past to give you power, amen, for the future, amen? Young people of African American descent, young people of any people, take this to heart. God hath made a way for his people. He hath not forgotten us even in our bondage. He hath brought us to a place of great possibilities. All we need do is what? Be faithful, amen? And believe, and God will let you do miraculous things. Even though you may be the first of your group to do it, you are not the first human to do it, amen? That's why I say that whole issue of first is somewhat belittling and cheapening. If I was the first person in the world to do something, make it an issue. But God has given all of us the same capabilities. And out of our camp have come doctors, lawyers, statesmen, teachers, scientists, astronauts. Amen? Amen. Children who are the descendants of those who bore the burden in the heat of the day, in the field picking cotton, are now sitting in positions of affluence. They're generals in America's army. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Not because they were black, but because God has blessed. Amen? Let's move away from because of your color. Because I'm certain that heaven is not segregated. I was looking through the scripture this week, and I couldn't find it. It didn't say that there'll be the ghetto. You know, I was looking for it. I want to find out where the barbershop is. I'm just kidding. That's an ethnic joke for those of y'all who don't know. Okay? But God had a plan for us to be free. And when we realize freedom as a people, we can realize freedom in the faith. Amen? Amen. Because the first freedom is the freedom to worship God. And when we receive the ability to worship God, we realize that man's ways were the wrong ways. I guess the message this morning is that road from slavery to freedom for the African American, even though it was arduous and painful, even though scary and deadly, God had a plan for us. And regardless of what man tried to do, being influenced by sin, God had a plan for us. And even though we were hung and burned and beaten, God had a plan for us, and we are still here. Not because we're here to remind those who did us wrong that they did us wrong, but we're here to remind them that we serve a mighty God. Amen? And our God is greater than your agenda. And even though your desire may be to wipe me out, because you didn't create me, you can't extinct me. God will keep me around just so you'll be reminded that he is God. And the only way we could have got that word out was God picking a man of God to put it out there. And as you look around and you see black churches, unfortunately black churches, many of them now becoming more cosmopolitan, which is a blessing. I will tell you, over in Iraq, the church that I co-pastor over there, we are a cosmopolitan community. We have blacks and whites. We have Hispanics and Asians. We have local Hawaiians. We have whomever. I even had some folks from India come to the service because they want to know more about Jesus. They don't care about my color. They want to know more about Jesus. And who else can tell them? Who better than someone who was once in bondage and now is free to tell them that God is able? Amen? Amen. I'm grateful that God has blessed us with that message. So this morning as you leave, remember that God's word is power. Amen? Amen. And when the slave heard the powerful word of God, they in fact verify what is said in Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So in my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish that what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent." Amen? That would be Isaiah 55:11. When God's word went out to the slave, the whole course of history changed. Amen? Because God's plan was now put in motion all the more. So as we look at Black History Month this month, for those of us from the black community, remember how God has blessed you. Think back on your own life. Remember our heroes. Remember those who went before us, and accentuate the positive about the experience. Even though they're negatives, even though they're things that are painful to remember, God's plans still hold true. It's not about taking the negative baggage with us throughout life, but it's unshackling from that and embracing the victory. Amen? Embrace the victory. And what you will see in the future is a more cosmopolitan world. Not heaven. We won't see heaven till we get there. Amen? We're going to have problems still, but God is still in the blessing business. Because no matter how bad it gets now, it's nothing like it was. Amen? I remember when Minister Farrakhan came here. How many of y'all know Minister Louis Farrakhan or of him? He is a black Muslim leader. And often he speaks very profound things. And I share this with you just to let you know the level of intensity that was placed on slaves. I took my children to see him down at the Hyatt Regency back in 1994. And while he was there, he says, "We have come to a different place in history. We are allowed to walk among white Americans freely, look at them in their faces and not be afraid." He said, "Because there was a time when we would be hung if we had looked up Miss Sally's dress hanging on the line." That's how severe and intense it was back in the day. Amen? But now we can look at each other in full face. We can greet each other in love and feel a sense of kinship and brotherhood. Amen? Amen? Only because God had a plan. Now it's up to us to keep that plan in motion. Today, when you leave here, reach out to someone other than your people and say, "God loves you and so do I." Amen? Amen. Remember that we're all on this journey together. That fork in the road called the black experience was only put there by man. Amen? But it was blessed by God. Amen? And at the end of it is victory. And we met again, amen, at another place. We're all on the same road. Don't let this be a time to remember it in shame and in despair. Remember, God was mindful even now. And as I close, I just ask that you continue to pray for us over there in Iraq. I am blessed to be around America's sons and daughters, and I will tell you that they are doing a wonderful job. I often refer to them as other people's kids because my kid's over there too. And I will tell you that they are doing a wonderful job, not because of race. You have soldiers dying for each other, not because of their color, but because that's my buddy. Amen? You're going to blow up my buddy. I'm not going to let that happen. They are so far removed in many instances from this foolishness that you won't know when they're talking to their parents over the phone who may in fact have a problem with race. When they speak of their friend, their parents may not know their friend is black or Hispanic. Amen? They'll say, "You know my battle buddy?" Because we all have battle buddies over there. They're your significant person on the battlefield who you confide in and share with because you're far away from family. Their battle buddies may be someone of another race, and they are closer than a brother. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's who you go places with, you tell your fears to, all that stuff. So they're over there doing a wonderful work, and they're living the true American dream as it relates to equality and acceptance. Amen? Because if your gunner is black, and you're a tank commander, or you're riding in a Humvee for security, you don't want to be acting a fool if this guy is protecting your life. Amen? You want to find some way to be a little cordial. Amen? So that he can sustain life. So keep praying for us. Keep praying for our nation. Whatever your opinion may be of your president, our president, I should say, we know that God is aware of who he is. Amen? And even though I become inflamed at times about this whole issue, keep praying for our leadership, that God will work his will. Because even in this madness, amen, God has a plan, amen? And if you don't believe it, go back to Matthew's and read in Matthew 24 when it talks about the end times, right? Wars are going to happen. They're going to happen, right? It tells us that there. Don't be shocked because it's happening. Just pray that it comes to a quick conclusion, amen? And God will bless. Let's just pray. Father God, this morning we're grateful for you blessing us as a people. We're thankful, O God, for all those you've blessed before us who've done wonderful things in history, who've invented things, who've done great things, who've fought the fight for us as African Americans to find a place in America. We are grateful, O God, that you inspire their hearts to do these things. And now, O God, we pray that both as African Americans and other people of this nation, that we remember that you inspired them because you wanted mankind to remember that your plan for us is to love one another, to take care of our brother, to remember that all of us are equal in your eye, so that we can all make it into the kingdom together where we can rejoice you for all eternity. Father God, bless those who are out there today who are lonely, seeking a friend. Let it be one of us, O God, who go and share with them the good news. Let us share with them, O God, that you're able. You're able to move a nation from situation to situation, a people from bondage to freedom, Father God. Let them know that you are able to bring someone out of a drug addiction or out of alcoholism or out of a bad situation, O God. You're able to heal a family, O God. Remind them, O God, through your servant's voice that they're able, that you're able to do all kinds of things, O God. You are an ABC God, as they say. And you're ABC God because anybody can be saved. Anybody can make it into the kingdom. Anybody can forgive. Anybody can be forgiven. Father God, remind us who you are through your servant's voice. Remind us through your nature. Remind us through, O God, the children, that in all things, O God, you are sovereign. And without you, we can do nothing. And even though our time in history was dark, O God, today we can sing and we can rejoice. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Amen.
Please turn your hymnals to page 305.